Okay, well, this is in San Antonio, Texas at the Army Nurse Corps Association Convention. It's May 29th, 2004, and I'm Kara Buick. I'm here with Betty and Tilla. Is that how you say that? And Tilla. And we're going to talk right now about your recruiting experience and how you recruited for the war. And so you were in the Army Nurse Corps first, right? And when did you join the Army Nurse Corps?
That was one of the assignments.
Okay.
That was one of my assignments.
Uh-huh. And when did you join the Army Nurse Corps?
I took my oath in August 1961.
Uh-huh. And were you in the Student Nurse Corps program?
No, I was the direct commission.
You were already done.
Uh-huh. I came in as a first lieutenant because I had graduated from a diploma school of nursing.
Uh-huh.
And I usually tell people that I could have been a Korean veteran if I had only had some nurse counselor recruited come to our school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was intrigued with it because I had gotten the brochures from the Army, Navy, and Air Force in our little post office. But I was so broke. I didn't realize, I didn't know that kind of time, naive, that the military would pay my way out to do this.
Uh-huh.
So then I usually say that 10 years later, I joined the Nurse Corps after I'd done a variety of nursing.
Uh-huh.
And I'd gone to Europe as a tourist, and I ended up getting a job with the 97th General Hospital there as a civil service. So I ended up staying there for 3 years. In 97th General Hospital in Frankfurt, Germany.
Okay.
Because, of course, that was quite an active hospital at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, okay, and they hired nurses, civilian nurses over there.
Uh-huh.
You had to be over there, and then you have a contract, civil service contract. You know?
Uh-huh.
So I ended up staying with them for almost 3 years.
Oh.
But I came home
uh-huh.
in the summer of 61, because I had to get on active duty to take my oath before my 32nd birthday.
Okay.
So that's
uh-huh.
so I came in as a first lieutenant,
uh-huh.
and they gave me credit for 10 years of nursing experience from a diploma school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I had had my degree,
mm-hmm.
I could have come in as a captain.
Uh-huh.
But that's how some of that phased in
uh-huh.
nursing recruiting like that.
Uh-huh.
So
and that 10 years went towards retirement.
No, that's civil service.
Oh, towards your rank.
No. Well, the rank was the first lieutenant. I came in as a first lieutenant.
Uh-huh.
You know, otherwise, I probably would have, if I had had less experience, I would have uh-huh. come in as second lieutenant.
Uh-huh.
But because I had the 10-year experience,
okay.
Came in as a first lieutenant. So.
Uh-huh. And so you joined the Corps in 61.
Uh-huh.
And what was your first assignment?
Well, it was in a small hospital down in South California near Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
So I came in with a medical surgical MOS,
mm-hmm.
military occupant. That's how I was identified.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to, and I was on in volunteer indefinite position.
Mm-hmm. What does
so
that
then
mean?
So that meant that I wasn't really regular Army, but I was kind of like in a reserve status.
Okay.
But then when I agreed to go to Korea, then what happens is you are more definite.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my age and so forth, I still remained in the reserves, active reserve
mm-hmm.
part. And I'll just jump ahead a little bit. But then what happened when I was a colonel, there was window openings because I did sort of qualify, so I took my regular Army oath as a colonel,
uh-huh.
as a full colonel.
Uh-huh.
So that
and then you're in the regular Army.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, from that assignment, I went to Korea. From Korea, I came here to Fort Sam Houston,
mm-hmm.
and I realized I'm going to make it a career. So I went. We had different RN programs. We
mm-hmm.
had a psychiatric nurse. 6 months
mm-hmm.
program to prepare Army nurses to work in psychiatry, you know, kind of specialize.
Uh-huh.
So that ended up being my specialty, and it still is,
uh-huh.
kind of as a psychiatric nurse.
Uh-huh.
And then that was, then, like I said, I went to a career course. That's one of the requirements as you advance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through an administration course. It kind of prepares you to be a head nurse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then following that, I did go through the psych program, which was 6 months
mm-hmm.
long. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I got the MOS, you know.
Uh-huh.
So then from there, went through the school, and then I was there as a head nurse of a psychiatric unit. Mm-hmm. But then it was my turn. I needed to go and get my degree. Mm-hmm. So we had at that time, it was around for about 10 years, University of Omaha, of Nebraska. They had 6 to 8 months courses, or fill-in courses. If you know, usually what people did, they tried to get a lot of the humanities, extra humanities, and went to prepare to get a degree. You know, mm-hmm. you did that part-time, like I went to school with California, the University of California down there, and then when I was in Denver, I was picking up English, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. So then I prepared for this, so I was able to, and then we were given 60 credits for the diploma. Uh-huh. So that took care of like that. So that's how I got my baccalaureate degree uh-huh. From this University of Omaha. Uh-huh. And that's at that time, this was just happening in the Army Nurse Corps, as taking a position to become an Army nurse and to prepare for it, you needed to have your baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. So that's why many of us end up going through this, they call it bootstrap. Uh-huh. Education, because you did get your military pay, but then you bought your own books and things like that, and paid your own rent and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. So I did get my baccalaureate, uh-huh. and then from there I went into recruiting. My assignment was from school to the recruiting, with recruiting command. Mm-hmm. And the United States Recruiting Command is kind of divided like in five areas. So I was in the Chicago recruiting district area. But mm-hmm. then I was assigned to Minneapolis, it's called the recruiting main station. Mm-hmm. And that's where the nurse, and I covered what you did, what I did then, I covered North Dakota, Minnesota, and Western Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that's my home area. I was born in Bismarck, mm-hmm. and I grew up in Northern Minnesota. So they tried to also, with nursery counselor, assign them to their local, you know, with their familiar area and so uh-huh. forth. So I spent 2 years. Uh-huh. So, but at that time, this was Vietnam, mm-hmm. so I was recruiting for direct commissions, and I can talk about that a little separately. Uh-huh. That meant nurses are registered nurses, and they could be in a diploma school at this point yet.
Uh-huh. And what year is this that you started?
This was in 67 to 69
okay.
that I was as a nurse counselor in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And the programs that we had to get nurses for the military, the Army Nurse Corps. We had the direct commission, mm-hmm. and like I said, they could be a diploma graduate, BS, or master's, and mm-hmm. I was able to get, and I can talk about that in just a minute. Mm-hmm. And then the other big thing was we had the Army Student Nurse Program mm-hmm. that allowed, we recruited schools of nursing, and the student got 1 to 2 years of assistance, like with the baccalaureate, we helped pay for the junior and senior year. Uh-huh. And they were committed for 3 years uh-huh. to come in. So, and then we had the Army Institute of Nursing, mm-hmm. and this was a program developed with University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. That was a four-year program where the student was permitted to stay the first 2 years in their college of their choice, mm-hmm. college or university. But they had to be able to matriculate with University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. So many of these schools, you know, they were good, you know, Catholic schools and so forth. So the students who actually end up graduating from the rain, we call them raindrops. You know, that's abbreviation. Mm-hmm. So I was exposed, and then with the Minnesota State Nurses Association, worked very closely. I was on one of their, you know, recruiting nurses, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They allowed me to wear my uniform, to go to high schools and speak to the senior classes and mm-hmm. so forth to emphasize, you know, this. Mm-hmm. So then also for the registered nurse, that could be who's graduated from diploma school, we offered them 2 years assistance to go to baccalaureate program mm-hmm. or else to a master's level. Mm-hmm. So all those programs, you know, mm-hmm. were going, so we had a busy time. Uh-huh. We could, and so, then what we dealt with, you know, we were asking about what happened. I'm from the Midwest, and you heard the Chris twins talking, mm-hmm. because they had a lot of schools, and they were, and we had, we had a number of diploma schools, but we had a number of colleges, so we kind of emphasized, you know, the state colleges mm-hmm. and so forth. And then, of course, like with these RAIN programs, the four-year what I had to deal with, we did deal with parents. We had fathers, you know. There were fathers who really emphasized me, because that's a four-year scholarship.
Uh-huh.
Student got the wages of a private first class,
uh-huh.
and the tuition was paid for, and the books were paid for, and they got that salary. So uh-huh. those Rain students were rather wealthy students
mm-hmm.
around them.
Uh-huh.
So those were, that wasn't too bad. But most sometimes with the other program, the Army Student Nurse Program, the junior and senior year, and even with direct commissions, we had to deal with kind of the fathers from
uh-huh.
World War II,
uh-huh.
and, you know, to have convinced that they weren't really exposed, some of them weren't exposed to military women, or, well, some of them were exposed that non-nurse people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the nurses, they never really had met personally an Army nurse. They didn't even know it, although in the hospitals, but they just didn't. They didn't want their daughters. This is the point I'm getting at.
Uh-huh.
They were kind of resistant their daughters to join the military.
Uh-huh. And why didn't they want them in the military?
Well,
what did they think about?
Well, the thing is, you know, even look now, how when you think even these days, you know, come join the military, still, it's an adventure, those who do it. But then there's always kind of resistance. I don't want to do what they're doing. You know, they think it's very rigid and that sort of thing. And I guess it's the female approach, and I think you probably read about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That they still, that, oh, not my daughter. I don't want my daughter to go to the Army Nurse College,
uh-huh.
you know, that sort of thing.
Did they think some, you know, I've heard that, you know, the perception was that if you were a woman in the military,
yeah.
you were either a lesbian,
yeah, I know.
Or you were kind of
yeah.
loose. And is that what the fathers thought
well,
would happen to
things,
them? Maybe?
Yeah, some of them. Well, not necessarily about lesbians. I think that came a little later.
Uh-huh.
But mostly, you know, that you're camp followers or something like
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh.
But you know, but then there was then there are others who were really gung-ho. You know,
uh-huh.
they got to know. But that was kind of even sometimes in your general civilian population. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
How would you convince a father that his daughter
well, we
wasn't going to?
Well, we just explained the program, you know, and I said, and I say, well, you just haven't met the right people,
uh-huh.
and I would expect, you know, what is the experience? Well, usually they hadn't even been in a hospital,
mm-hmm.
you know, they
mm-hmm.
weren't injured or whatever, you know,
uh-huh.
that sort of thing. So,
uh-huh.
but then of course, you know, usually it's up to the daughter to convince,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, that. And generally they come around. There was some, of course, what end up dealing with recruiting at that time. There's a lot of competition between the Army, Air Force, and Navy.
Uh-huh.
Air Force was considered more glamorous,
mm-hmm.
and Navy tended to be less dangerous.
Uh-huh.
and the Army, we were down there with the troops,
uh-huh.
that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Is that kind of explaining
yeah,
what
yeah,
I wanted to,
yeah.
The attitude?
Yeah, so what kind
and then, of course, then the thing is, when I, you know, remember that the Vietnam era,
mm-hmm.
I felt in the Midwest there was much more respect. I never felt threatened because it got so with the recruiting command that people, the colleges, you know, they weren't allowing nurse counselors or recruiters
mm-hmm.
to come into colleges, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
Because of this pro-Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
attitude and so the Vietnam War. Where am I going with this?
so some of the colleges said you couldn't
yeah,
come.
Okay, yeah. And then, recruiting said you don't need to wear your uniform. But I did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, you know, then just need to get accustomed. And I think because I was a little older, and because remember now then I'm like 34, 35,
mm-hmm.
and was a major, you know, so
mm-hmm.
maybe that made a little difference or whatever, I felt very comfortable in this area because they knew I was born. I always made a point of saying that I'm a Midwesterner, but and like
uh-huh.
for instance in the Duluth area, and that's where I went to got my diploma school. And the three of us, that's Army, we did cooperate. We went to schools of nursing.
Uh-huh.
And I always got tickled when we went to St. Luke's because I used to tell we were in this big room classroom, and the three of us are talking, and I usually start my my little spiel. I said, that was my, I was, because my name started with A, that was that same desk over there was my desk,
uh-huh.
you know. And of course, you know, that kind of help. So I did have school, you know, schools of, some of the students from my own school of nurses join,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's that thing. So, But it always was kind of a little bit adventure. But I never hesitated to wear my uniform, and nobody insulted me.
Uh-huh.
But in California, there was a lot of that stuff mm-hmm. going on, and in other parts, you know, I left different areas, even in Detroit and so forth. Uh-huh. But I think, you know, with those three states, you know, I think people are much more kindly
uh-huh.
in that sense.
Uh-huh. More sympathetic to the military in general.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, you know, even with the war attitude, you know, uh-huh. that as a whole.
Uh-huh.
Although it's amazing how many people, like my own relatives,
uh-huh.
you know, all my military career, they always got confused. They didn't really know what I was doing. They knew I was a nurse, you know,
uh-huh.
that sort of thing. And they, you know, unless they came to see me, they didn't realize how I lived, you know. I was very uh-huh. independent, you know, and
uh-huh.
so forth. But
uh-huh.
in fact, I had nephew and some cousins. I just go round and round because they wouldn't even think of going in the military
uh-huh.
during that Vietnam era, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I used to really get really upset with them because I thought they're just not being realistic.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was going relating. I'm thinking of one student, she was from my school, and I used her for recruiting, you know, she would on TV, local TV with me, you know,
uh-huh.
and she looked sharp, you know, very attractive gal and so forth, and she was from near Grand Forks, and she met her boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and what happened when it's ready for her commissioning, she declined to be, take her home.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the thing is that I can work in the VA hospitals if nothing else, you know, that I don't. And then the boyfriend would say, the fiance would say, well, I got a brother in Vietnam now, and he was sales, car sales,
uh-huh.
and I said, that's beside the point. I said, we need prepared Army nurses, because this is a direct commission, this girl
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she would have been sent.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was interested in going, but then of course she ended up being cold feet because of him and so forth. And,
uh-huh.
and then they thought there should be a way to get out of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time there was no payback. The only thing was the thing that that we didn't have anything in concrete, but it, you know, the thing is that it would be difficult for her. She said she'd go to VA hospital,
mm-hmm.
but they would, you know, that's part of the support for the military system.
Mm-hmm.
If they were wondering, well, why didn't, you know, she went through this education program, why didn't she come on active duty?
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it kind of stymied her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happened to her, but
mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that she was persuaded by her boyfriend
uh-huh.
not to come on.
Uh-huh.
Is that going to explain a little
uh-huh.
bit what you're getting?
Yeah. What kinds
yeah.
of things, you know, somebody came into the recruiter's office and said, I'm kind of interested, what kinds of things would you tell them or
show them? Yeah, well, listen, we had very attractive brochures and
Do
so
Do you remember
forth.
What they looked like? Or what was
well, I...
Because I have some here.
Uh-huh.
I just want to, you know, if maybe you had some of these, then
yeah. uh-huh.
we could talk. Some of these start pretty early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my era. This is one of the things.
Educational opportunity.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Got a
uh-huh. oh,
nice
yeah.
girl on
uh-huh.
65.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's it. See. Yeah, well, yeah, some of these could have been, I think this is Army nurse, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think
I can't remember that,
Army.
Because we always say it's facts. Yeah, this is,
uh-huh.
yeah, this changed, this little brochure changed quite frequently.
Uh-huh.
The eligibility. Yeah, that,
uh-huh.
yeah.
It's kind of just basic.
Yeah, those are the ones, uh-huh.
Let's see. This one's kind of a recruiter's guide. It's got information about the little programs.
Yeah, uh-huh. This is for the local recruiter.
Uh-huh.
For the
so
industry.
That's something you would have used.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, this we needed to fill this out, but mostly it would be, you know, this is, you know, the nurses as well as this really spelled out for the enlisted recruiters, the sergeants are
okay.
out there. And we did have sergeant recruiters to help the nurse counselor
uh-huh.
in
uh-huh.
the recruiting. They would interview,
uh-huh.
but usually those said with the registered nurses, I really wanted to do it myself.
Uh-huh.
Them to
uh-huh. Did you see
yeah,
this
oh yeah,
one,
this,
a new
yeah.
career?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Got
yeah.
all the nurses'
uh-huh.
hats
oh, yeah.
on
this
the front.
Oh yeah, this was a popular one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're very colorful ones, so they
Yeah, and this
uh-huh.
one's got,
yeah.
I remember reading this one,
uh-huh.
what a nurse wants,
uh-huh.
and she wants
yeah. oh,
all
yeah.
these different
uh-huh.
things.
Yeah, that kind of really Yes, that's the sort of thing.
Did they, you know, a lot of times they talk a lot about the uniforms. You know, you can wear this pretty uniform. Did they, was that something they were concerned about?
No, many of them, you know, because it's amazing. Once someone put that uniform on, they, you know, just felt a little extra special, you know, in their night. And then they're nice, attractive uniforms, you know, at the time they changed. So, but you know, the only thing, we really watch weight. These are all familiar. These are the things that are used. And this one, how are you able to get these copies?
I've gotten them through depository libraries.
Okay,
the government sends things, and then through the Army Nurse Corps Archives, both.
Financial aid. That's in 67. Yeah, this was one of the newer ones that came out.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Well, so you've got those.
Through some of the hospitals. Do you know any, did the recruiting command at Fort, was it Fort Monroe, did they send you stuff?
When I went into recruiting, the recruiting command was at Fort Sheridan in Chicago.
Okay.
They moved from Fort Monroe, and recruiting command took over. Before, it was still under Army Medical Services.
Okay.
You know, so I've forgotten what the process was, because that was a little before my time, that it ended up changing, that recruiting command took over.
Whole recruiting command for the entire United States was in Fort Monroe.
But it was started there, but then it moved to Fort Sheridan. Was there for years, and then about 10 years ago, it moved to Fort Kentucky.
Fort Knox. Okay. Okay. So all of when you were in and recruiting, all of it came from Fort Sheridan. Okay. And they sent you these brochures and said, "Here's what you
have
to
use." We always had, you know, and then of course you see, because I was at the main station, there. Well, the public, the central place, usually our publications, you can see they're from different places. That's where we would order them, from New York, whoever published these for us, you know. But we had a little voice, not when I was a nurse counselor, but when I was at headquarters, when I was chief of nurse recruiting, I was able to kind of look at these brochures before they went out. You know, give input.
And what years?
That was 75 to 76.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were a recruiter, you just got these and you didn't...
Because, you know, again, the nurse, whoever was the chief, whoever was in chief nurse recruiting, would have some comment, you know, would have some input.
Use these pictures.
Although we use professional services, that did PR stuff, you know.
So did you, you know, look at these things and say, "I like this one, this brochure better than this other one," or?
Well, by then, you know, when I was at that consular level, you know, they were already published. Those whatever came out, you know. And then when I finally got to that level, then I was helping to change different things, but not too much, you know, because you trusted, you know, the publicity people, and they were all civilians, you know.
Okay.
I mean, who did this stuff, printing and stuff like that. Does that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got, listen, here's another big one. Your ward of the world, Army Nurse Corps. You remember this one?
Yeah, and then, this has all the hospitals. And this was really good to use. It really helped. And we used to give them we had to be kind of conservative with this one a little bit, because, you know, it was colorful, very colorful and so forth. But then, you know, that's usually, if we had extra, we would give them to someone. But usually in counseling, I'd have them look at it, you know, and we talked about it. And it did give you kind of an overview, because we had a lot of, you know, we were located so many places. And if, you know, and what's happened, it's really been downsized. You know, like in Germany, I think we're down to about 4 hospitals there now. Before there was 13, 14, you know, that sort of thing, when we were helping to build up Germany.
Here's another big one. Nursing.
Yeah, I remember this is one that came in almost when I was around. 16. But these were models. Oh, no, these ones. But some of the models. But now when you see them, you know, like in the nursing journals and so forth, those are real people. But mostly what I'm thinking about is like posing for those uniforms. Those are mostly models.
Mostly models. That,
yeah. Yeah.
And so did you find these things help? Did you think that this was an accurate view of Army nursing?
Oh, yeah.
Or did it kind of make it a little more glamorous?
Or, well, the thing is I know maybe people will say that we glamorize this, but sometimes the fellows might, you know, I'm talking about the recruiters and so forth. But we did. I mean, these are kind of realistic scenes to what they can expect. And then, of course, then also we did, you know, one of the recruiting interests was, you know, we needed to tell them, which is true. You know, we have all these assignments, different places that you'll be assigned. Or else you can request, you know, we had, you know, like with our procurement section out of the chief nurse's office, we had a procurement, we gave them three options, you know, where would you like to be assigned? Uh-huh. Sometimes you got them, sometimes you didn't, or you got one of them, or something, or else you just lucked out, you know, that sort of thing.
And was it that, I've heard that if you were an RN, or if you were in a four-year program, a degree program, that you definitely got one of your top three choices, but if you were in the student nurse program from a diploma school,
With the student programs, they still have an option, you know. But when you come as a direct commission, especially during that one period in Vietnam, we could call the office, you know, and once someone would like this assignment, because they would get. I usually had the individual standing, you know, sitting there with me, and I said, let's find out what is available. And I just had to interject this in case I forget it. I remember sitting in Bismarck, North Dakota, sitting in the recruiter's office, because I travel, I drive, you know, North Dakota. And I'm sitting there answering the phone. Here comes this gentleman, comes in, good-looking fellow. And he introduced himself, and he was an instructor at Mary College there in Bismarck. And you see what's happening with the men, the draft was coming, getting closer and closer. And so he came in, and he had been teaching psych, you know. And he said, what can the Army, comes in this, I have my telephone and I hook up. What can the Army do? I said, come and sit down, I'll tell you. And he was saying he was at Mary College, and he knew that I was there, you know, for the students too, you know, stuff like that. And I said, what is your clinical background? He said, psych. Okay, my background is psych nursing. And he said, okay. So then he said it settled down, because he had been to the Air Force and Navy, you see. And he was wondering, you know, he had a wife and a couple of kids. So, and he said, I said, what have you been thinking about? And usually the people are prepared when come in, and, you know, they've heard some of this meet from the regular recruiter and so forth. And he said, well, I'm not really ready to go to Vietnam. Can I go to Japan? Because Japan got a lot of casualties. And I said, okay. I called, and yes, we needed a psych nurse there. And so he heard me verbally say, and I, you know, I'm looking at him, said, he can get a guaranteed assignment. That's what happened. He got a guaranteed assignment.
And he kind of did that to avoid being sent to Vietnam?
We all know the thing is, he's willing to, but he wasn't ready, you know, because he had family. But we needed people. But I've had people, you know, nurses that, I'm talking about now the RN nurse, you know, who's come in for direct commission. And they have asked to go to Vietnam.
Did you have some say, I definitely don't want to go to Vietnam?
They didn't. So I said, well, it's a possibility, but where would, you know, so usually that person got some stateside assignment. And then we also recruited, like, partners, you know, the two nurses want to come together.
The buddy system.
Buddy system.
Some of them talk about you joining up together and you got it. So that was a definite thing. It wasn't.
It happened. But then after that, they might end up, you know, they follow through to their first assignment and so forth. But then, of course, they realize then afterwards you have to be a little bit more flexible. They can't always. Right now, I don't know. I'm sure there were some that were able to move from one assignment to another. But I think afterwards they get comfortable, and they, you know, kind of used to the Army Nurse Corps and where the military Army hospitals and so forth. That they kind of lost some of that. whatever present, you know, attitude they have and stuff like that.
Did you have a lot of student nurses or nurses in general come up and say, I want to join because I want to go to Vietnam?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of those.
When there were, yeah. Mm-hmm. With the direct commissions, that's what the emphasis was for from there. And then, of course, with the student program, many of them kind of anticipated eventually, but some of them never was able to because the war ended, in 75, and so forth, that they didn't need to do that. But some of the young, the range students, when after they've been in 1 or 2 years, they did get sent over. But that's not, during the Vietnam era, usually what I used to talk about too is what was expected in World War II in Korea. So sometimes I always felt a little later, through the years, that these young nurses who got to Vietnam, they didn't even know the hazards and the problems, with World War II. Mm-hmm. Because, we had over 54,000, I've forgotten the numbers, it's up there, mm-hmm. 40,000 Army nurses, because here we had, the war going on in Europe, and then we had the South mm-hmm. Pacific. So mm-hmm. those were 21, 20 year, 22, 3 year old gals. Mm-hmm. They had to go. But I don't think what was going then, we didn't have what we had to face with Vietnam because of the general population, why are we doing there? That's uh-huh. anti-Vietnam. Uh-huh. That did influence some of the people,
Uh-huh. So did you have to answer that, you have people come in and say, or did you have to answer this anti-war sentiment? Was that a big problem?
Well, I didn't really emphasize that, mm-hmm. I just said that this is our need. Uh-huh. I think one of the things is, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. I did speak out at the ANA, the American Nurses Association Convention, mm-hmm. when I was a nurse counselor. Now, that was a convention, and they could meet every, it was in 68. Mm-hmm. 68 was being held in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And the draft for nurses was up one of the, resolutions that mm-hmm. was going to be presented. Mm-hmm. And I, myself, and there's just 3-4 of us, where we had our booth, we had our display with the mannequin, with the uniforms and things like that. Uh-huh. And so I attended a lot of delegates meetings and so mostly for him. And I tried to keep track because it wasn't just the Army, there was Navy and Air Force. Mm-hmm. How many of those men we're talking about? Now usually at that time it was 5,000 to 6,000 nurses gathered at these, mm-hmm. the American Nurses Association Convention. They held every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember in this particular session, and that, it wasn't just for delegates, it was for who all came. And they brought up the draft issue for nurses. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly what I said and so forth, but I asked the people that were talking about it, and everyone was running to the microphone and talking, and I'm in my uniform. Mm-hmm. Other microphones had sisters, from Catholic hospitals and other, and speaking, he said, what are we going to do? We need nurses too, that sort of thing, and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And what I approached when I was standing at the microphone, then the president of ANA asked me to speak. I said, we have a military nurse at the bar, and we need to hear what she has to say. So what I did essentially, I did tell him one thing, that I was very concerned that this resolution was being presented. I said, yet you haven't heard from the federal military services how things are with recruiting from headship. Because that, what I expected, that usually this is what's been done, in the, after that, oftentimes you had your military nurse corps chiefs or representative present the status of the military nurse corps. Mm-hmm. And so here, this convention, this is 68. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So I said I was very disappointed to find out. I said, I wonder how many of you even went to the military nurse board. That way.
It
must be.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Beverly Green, our president, or former president Greenlee, mm-hmm. has space at her table.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So come to dinner, banquet tonight.
So we're going to talk, when we finish the interview later, we're going to talk more about the ANA conventions and the resolution about drafting.
Maybe even after the dinner, we could finish.
Okay. All right, great. So we'll end this for now.
Yeah.
Okay, this is September 22nd, 2004, and we're continuing an interview with Betty Antila. And this time, I am in Columbus, Ohio, calling her in Gaithersburg, Maryland. So we're finishing this up, and it's going to be a little out of order, just because we talked about recruitment earlier. But maybe if we could back up and start with, your childhood. You were born in 1929 in Bismarck, North Dakota. Is that right? Okay. And how long did you live in North Dakota?
I always tell people I grew up in a Finnish colony, because a lot of Finlanders were my parents, grandparents. My grandparents on both sides came from Finland, so we lived in this little colony, I keep calling,
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I lived in this North Dakota till I was like in the fifth grade. But then, you see, my mother died. So then what happened, my father took the five of us and drove us and left us. So we lived with his mother, Grandma.
Uh-huh.
So that. But anyways, I think, when I can date back in my interest in nursing, because I can remember going to the hospital to see my mother. At that time, I didn't realize she was dying, but I know that I was kind of impressed with the nurses there and so forth,
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an imprint in my mind that I was going to be a nurse,
So then I
had my adolescence in my high school there up in northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I did work as nurse's aide, but then I didn't have the money to go to school right away, so I worked as the nurse's aide down in Minnesota, down in St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, which is involved with the Mayo Clinic. And so it happened, I met this couple, and I was taking care of the woman. So she wanted me to go down to Texas with her. So that's my first exposure, was to go to Texas. And I lived on a ranch and took care of, helped her with her housework and things like that. And I was going to go to school there, but she said, oh no, you better go back up to Minnesota and go to school with your nursing. So that's what I did. So I started I got enrolled at St. Luke's School of Nursing in Duluth, Minnesota. And so that was in 47 to 48. That was, in 48. I graduated in high school in 47. I was down there, and then I came back up when I was in 1948, so I was, I was a little, like a whole year older than some of my classmates, because they just graduated in 48.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so I enjoyed high school, and in 1951, we were ready to graduate, and I was at that time, that was Korean War, and I remember that we got those brochures from the Army, Navy, and Air Force. But I didn't realize, I was intrigued, I didn't realize that that the military would pay my way out, out of there. So
mm-hmm.
So that was my first interest in the military nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the next 10 years, actually, I did different types of nursing. I did teach a little bit at St. Luke's, but I went down to Minneapolis, and I worked with a hospital there, and my intent was to get my degree in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up going to Chicago to work with a child welfare agency. They needed a clinic nurse. So
mm-hmm.
That was my missionary time. So then I was there for about 3 years, and then I decided I got to go back and get my degree in nursing. But then I said, I have to have one last fling. So I got myself to Europe. A friend of mine had been teaching in the schools, at the military schools, the elementary schools there, for their dependents. And so I got a job at 97th General Hospital with civil service. So here I'm exposed to the Army Nurse Corps. And I said, I'm going to join the Army Nurse Corps. But I ended up staying there a couple years, 2 years, because I found out that I would get my expenses paid back, paid to come back to stateside, and then I stayed an extra year to get my little Volkswagen. So I finally got myself home to Washington, D.C., to the procurement office of the Army Nurse Corps and the Surgeon General's office. I finished processing my paper, and then, you see, I was 31, and I knew I had to get my oath before my 32nd birthday, because that was the restriction then. So I end up, process my papers and so forth, and I was commissioned, and then that fall I went in 1961, that fall, then I went to the basic orientation course there at Fort Sam Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So I came on active duty then in August 1961.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got involved with the Army Nurse Corps.
Uh-huh.
And I've never regretted it. Of course, fortunately, I liked what it offered professionally, And then, of course, these different assignments. And then I realized, too, that I could get some educational help. So that's what I did.
Uh-huh.
I went into the psychiatric nursing specialty more or less then as a diploma. The Army Nurse Corps has this training program for psychiatric nurses, and so that's how my MOS, my military occupational specialty, was the psychiatric nurse. So then, so that I had that because mostly I was concerned that with my aging, I don't think I could, continue with medical, surgical, nursing, and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I still, then I knew I had to get my degree because it's a career. So I was selected to go to University of Omaha. It wasn't nationally league accredited, but then this was a, like they call bootstrap. And so I was able to get my bachelor's of science degree then. And then I went into, so my next assignment, that's how I got involved with recruiting. In 67 to 69, I was in Minneapolis. That's during the Vietnam era that I was doing that recruiting. I think we talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed doing that, and it was, just a lot of challenging and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was transferred from Minneapolis down to the West Coast, to San Francisco for the district, and I kind of monitored what's going there. And then I was sent to Vietnam, so that's how I got to Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
So I was there from 70, fall of 71, 70 to 71. And then when I came back, I had processed my master's program there. I found, I applied to Texas Women's University for my master's in psychiatric and mental health nursing. So that's where I, I was in Vietnam. I did go there with my clinical psychiatric specialty, but then we weren't that busy oftentimes, so I really wanted to help out on the main, at 95th EVAC, with general nursing. So I ended up being the supervisor. I'm there as a major now. So I did the supervisory job, and then I was assistant chief nurse for the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
So then I came home.
Uh-huh.
But,
and so all of this nursing kind of interest started really early, once you, when you were little and you said mother was in the hospital. How old were you then?
When my mother died, I was in the fifth grade. I always forget how old I was.
Uh-huh.
I guess I was like 12, 13, 12,
uh-huh.
And then, so when I went to my high school, I did take the science courses and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and I know that with the counselors, they were talking about nursing in school, and I know I wasn't the greatest student, but I remember this one instructor, he thought I should go to the licensed practical school. And I said, well, no, she said, well, your grades aren't that hot, But anyways, I ended up being selected, so I was still kind of proud of that.
Uh-huh.
And I did tell him when I graduated, I did go to him. I said, see, I did get my
hours. And what kinds of things did you do when you were a nurse's aide before you went to nursing school?
Oh, yeah. It was between my junior and junior and senior year, mm-hmm. I went to a local hospital, and we had training, you know, how to make beds and all that sort mm-hmm. of thing. And then I worked on a OB ward,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I it was just amazing, you know, to be there. And I remember I almost, when I reported onto the ward with another girl, the head nurse, they were getting morning reports, like in the OB, in the delivery room. Someone had, you know, the patient had delivered, and they were just cleaning up, and I could see all that blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out because I thought I was going to faint.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember her saying, oh, I wish they wouldn't send these young kids around to work like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, then I heard her say that, and I sort of, you know, I just was going to. But apparently I did real well, because one time at night I was a nurse's aide with one nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sick. She didn't turn it out. So anyway, they had a supervisor. This was a Catholic hospital, this young. She said, well, if you need any, if any patients come in, you call me right away. So here I am. I'm like 16 years old. And I'm on this OB ward. And I remember there's just two patients who were there. And I think I would go and massage her uterus, you know. And I think I kept her awake all night because I wanted to be sure she wasn't bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so relieved, and I pretended that everything went okay, and no patients came in that night. And, you know, then to this day, I think about it. I said, my gosh, I guess they expected a little bit more, you know,
mm-hmm.
for young kids to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so anyways, I just didn't waver, you know, and, you know, because mm-hmm. I knew that. So that's how I didn't mind going down to Texas, because I was able to save some money.
Uh-huh.
And then I wanted to stay there, but they said, no, you go back home.
Uh-huh. And what did you do in Texas with this
woman?
Well,
I went with this patient who had been at the hospital, St. Mary's. She wanted me to come down and help her, and they paid my way and a friend of mine to go. So I stayed on the ranch,
mm-hmm.
because she was recuperating from her hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, from what I remember, she was the first at St. Mary's Hospital there in Rochester. She was the first patient that had the vaginal hysterectomy done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a new procedure. And so what I did with in the house, I was like a housekeeper. You know, I helped her keep the house and help her with the dishes and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And they lived on this ranch. And anyways, and I lived in a house with a cook for the ranch. She was a very nice, sweet lady who was a cook for the cowboys on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am in this ranch living. And then, you know, I was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Now, was that really your first time away from home?
Yeah, because actually, yeah, to go that way. Yes, I know my aunt, you know, she said, she thought I was really crazy. I mean, she said, you can't do that. So that's why I told Mrs. Wallace I could. My aunt stopped me because I hadn't been away. She said, well, would you like to take a girlfriend along? And so I had gotten acquainted with an older gal who had come to the nurse's aid,
mm-hmm.
Martha. So they paid her way. So
huh.
They brought us down to Texas, and they found her a job
mm-hmm.
at Sears Bookkeeping, and then I went and lived on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways. But I guess that the thing is, I found it adventure and courtesy. And I think that's what people would tell me that I was really adventuresome, and it seems like I had a lot of courage
uh-huh.
to do
uh-huh.
these things, you know. But anyway, but I was real pleased to, you know, that I graduated from St. Louis School of Nursing.
Mm-hmm. And that was a diploma program
yes.
at the time? Okay.
Yeah,
and was that
was in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then it was... there was a movement, you know, that we needed to get into a baccalaureate program, you know, nursing,
mm-hmm.
and that. And I know I was teaching a little bit nursing, what they call nursing arts, you know, for the nursing students.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I end up going from that hospital then down to Minneapolis, because I was taking some classes at the University of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But I got kind of impatient, and I felt like I needed to do something a little different. And that's when I told you how I went to Chicago to work with this Lutheran Child Welfare Association.
Uh-huh.
I was their clinic nurse, and I would do different things and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And then I got anxious. I got to get my degree, but then I needed one last fling. That's what I tell people. So I went to Europe, and
uh-huh.
I ended up working at the Army Hospital. I was processed and my application there, 97th General Hospital in Frankfurt.
Uh-huh.
For 3 years, so.
So it seems like you like to travel a lot.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was this little town that you lived in, or this town that you lived in, was it like a small town? Was it?
Where?
At home? Yeah, at home.
Oh, yeah, actually we lived out in the country.
Uh-huh.
And then it was up on northern Minnesota, they call it the Mesabi Range. They had,
mm-hmm.
during the war, they had all these mining, you know, iron ore and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so we had night school systems. We had buses that brought us to school. I graduated from Greenway High School, and that school had, we had all had swimming pools. The junior highs had swimming pools. Because the mining company provided for all these schools.
Uh-huh.
Schools, and we didn't have to buy books or paper or anything. We would provide paper and books.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget that. Now up there, people have to buy themselves, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we had a nice, you know, basic elementary school system than high school.
Uh-huh. And did you just kind of, I mean, did you want to get out of that town? Was that kind of part of it?
Yeah, no, because I wanted to be a nurse, you
uh-huh.
know, so I didn't, you know, I needed to, you know, I knew I had to leave there.
Uh-huh.
And I won because you didn't have any nursing schools up there, so that
uh-huh.
But I was able to, you know, I realized that I didn't have really the money, but then that's
uh-huh.
why also what the diploma school offered, you know, if you only paid for the tuition, you know, and you got your uniforms, your food, and your housing, and all that,
uh-huh.
you know, so, and I used to, during the school, you know, there, I used to kind of, we had a little library, and I used to, you know, work in their library to get some spending money, 50 cents,
uh-huh.
you know, to work in our school library, the nursing school library. And then on weekends, on Sundays, there was a Unitarian church next to, and they had a nursery. So I used to go there and babysit with the babies.
Uh-huh.
I got my other 50 cents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, so. So when I was going to school, you know, so you can see I was really broke.
Mm-hmm.
So when I graduated in 51, I was intrigued with those brochures
mm-hmm.
for the Army, Air Force, and Navy. And I said, oh, that I want to do that. But then, you know, we didn't have all the nurse recruiters or nurse counselors
mm-hmm.
around. And I was broke. So I didn't. But then it's amazing how what a life. I don't regret those 10 years that I, you know,
mm-hmm.
wasn't in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was supposed to kind of do all that stuff that I told you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That I, you know, meantime picking up this. So, but I know how I just when I started working at 97th, I said I know I was just there only about, you know, a month or two, and I said I'm going to join the Nurse Corps, and I told everybody that, you know, but
uh-huh.
I wanted to still tour a little bit, so that's why the first
uh-huh.
year, I found out that first year, if I stayed 2 years, I would have my passageway back home,
uh-huh.
you know, given to me. So I said, well, that's okay. So then it gave me a little bit more time to travel.
Uh-huh. Where did you go? Where did you go?
I traveled into, my friend and I, we took a bus tour. We got into, I've been to Russia,
mm-hmm.
and at Moscow, that's when they were having that Powers trial when Powers, that was, they were kind of concerned anyways. But also, then, of course, being in Frankfurt, you know, in the continent, it wasn't very far, really, to go and spend a weekend, like in Paris,
uh-huh.
or then go down to Italy, you know, and all that.
Uh-huh.
And then I did go to England, but I didn't go to Ireland. But then I did go and spend 21 days in Finland.
Uh-huh.
That's my, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I have, you know, some distant relatives there. And I really enjoyed that. And I was able to get by with my childhood Finn. Because remember, I was telling you how I grew up in a Finnish colony.
So uh-huh.
I spoke Finn before I even went to grade school, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't speak English until we started going to the country school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, but then I was able to use my childhood Finn when I was visiting in Finland.
Uh-huh.
Although Helsinki is a very cosmopolitan city, you know,
uh-huh.
and so forth, because I know I always tell the people about going into this Stockholm, it was a big department store, and I wanted to buy some souvenirs, like some tablecloths and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking Finn to the to the clerk, and she said, "Look, I speak much better English than you talk to." Finn, so we'll converse. I thought she was kind of arrogant, but anyway.
And did you like being away from home?
Oh, yeah.
That time?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, the thing is, you know, my mother had died, you know, and then, of course, Grandma was there, and then, of course, mm-hmm. you know, how you kind of, what happens, you just do, I just got quite independent, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I do keep contact with the family,
uh-huh.
and, you know, then, and I still do now, you know,
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm.
and do visit, so.
Uh-huh. And so you were in Frankfurt for 3 years total?
Yeah, uh-huh. I ended up being there 3 years.
Uh-huh. And did you ever come back to the States during that time?
No, because, you know, because we're busy working,
uh-huh.
and then busy going places.
Uh-huh. Huh. Uh-huh. Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then I met another nurse, Connie, was a good friend of mine, Connie Jacobs, and she was from southern Minnesota. She had went also to a diploma school, and then she had stayed working at that hospital. And then after her mother, she nursed her mother, and her mother had died, so her brother was assigned, was a West Point graduate, was assigned to Germany, so all her siblings said, you go and have a vacation in Germany. And then the brother's wife said, you know, they hire civilian nurses at 97th. So she brought her department nurse, and they almost hired her right away because she was OB.
Uh-huh.
OB and GYN, you know, and that's what you always need. And in no time, she got the job.
Uh-huh.
So then she and I got to be friends, real good friends. And she's the one that traveled with me to Russia, and then we also went like up to Denmark and different things,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So, and then I came home.
Mm-hmm.
I came home in 61, and then she came home in 62 and joined our nurse corps.
Uh-huh.
She did the same more or less thing. So and then she made it. You know, she worked. She was on active duty for a while, and then she got married. But then she stayed in the reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So she also ended up getting her 30 years in and a colonel. She retired as a colonel, too.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, so.
Let's see, and you said in your questionnaire that you had three brothers who were in the military, two in the Air Force and one in the Army.
Yeah, there were siblings there. I had three brothers.
Uh-huh.
And I had my one sister. Yeah, so my oldest brother, he was in the Navy, and then he switched to the Air Force. And then my young brother Willard, he graduated from high school in 1951. That was the Korean War, so he joined the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was in during the Korean War.
Uh-huh.
And then my younger brother had been in the Navy for a little bit. No, the Army for a little bit, and then he had gotten out. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
And so what did they think when you joined the Army?
Oh, they didn't really think anything about that too much, although I had uncles who were World War II
uh-huh.
veterans, and
uh-huh.
And one of them, Uncle Oscar, he was really proud. He used to tease me, you know,
uh-huh.
and then he was, you know, as I was getting rank, you know, he said, well, okay, now you got a colonel, when are you going to be a general, that sort of thing,
uh-huh.
you know, so, yeah, they, there was no, you know, in fact, all my family, what has happened is a lot of my cousins, younger cousins and so forth, they didn't even go into the military, so I'm just the only one in that group of family up there that went into the military.
Uh-huh.
The nurse corps, you know.
Uh-huh. Huh. And did you ever think about, you know, before you joined the Army Nurse Corps, even after, did you think, you know, maybe I want to do the stereotypical, you know, be June Cleaver and... be June Cleaver and have a husband and 2.5 kids and a dog and bake cookies.
I had, you know, I had, had want, you know, I you know, now you get kind of, I you know, I hadn't really wanted to get married, but either things didn't work out or whatever, you know. Uh-huh. So pretty soon, you know, time goes by and you're busy doing your own thing and so forth. And
uh-huh.
And now, you know, it's not, people say it's too late yet. I said, yeah, it's 75. What are you talking about? But I have a lot of my friends' husbands, they're you know, good friends of mine, you know.
Uh-huh.
They always kind of, sometimes I think they're kind of protective at sign time sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But they're always kind of curious what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some of them had been in the military, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about friends' husbands.
Uh-huh. and so in the fall of 61, then, you went to Fort Sam Houston for your basic training.
Basic, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what was that like?
Well, of course, you see, fortunate for me, being that I had worked, you know, as a civil service nurse in Frankfurt in the Army Hospital,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the adjustment like some of the others who first, you know, coming in, you know, from there, because they came in from the educational programs, you know,
uh-huh.
And they hadn't been exposed, so it you know, I felt like an old. I didn't have any trouble really adjusting, you know, doing
uh-huh.
that.
You kind of already knew all the,
yes,
uh-huh. the ranks and the salutes and
yeah.
Uh-huh. What other kinds of things did you do at basic training?
Well, of course, you know, there's formal classes. I think you realize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in Bullis, Camp Bullis, that's where we go for some field training, you know, and guns. You know, you just learn to shoot guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seemed like it's, I never took, you know, I mean, I was kind of always interested in everything, you know, so I didn't have any resistance to anything.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. But you did.
I guess I'm really kind of, I've been always sort of a recruiter at heart, you know, but I did spend 4 years with Recruiting Command. And
uh-huh. And was that was your first assignment?
Pardon?
That was your first assignment?
No, my first assignment was at a small hospital, Fort MacArthur,
uh-huh.
in south of Los Angeles.
You know, uh-huh.
It was a small hospital. And I was there for almost 2 years, and then I got assignment to Korea. You know, Korea.
Okay.
Which is a 12-month tour.
Uh-huh.
And so then when I came home from Korea, I ended up going to the Army career course for head nurses. You know,
uh-huh.
that was 6 months, and then from there, I was assigned to go. I went to a 6-month psychiatric nursing course that the Army has, you know,
uh-huh.
for you know, to prepare nurses for psychiatry. Yeah. So,
uh-huh.
and then before you know it, and then from.